Well, are you possessed? That's Joshua Warren's paranormal moment in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here he is, Joshua P. Warren, back for another weekly report. We call it the paranormal moment. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Doing great. And tonight, George, it's one of those shows. I must warn you and the listeners, it's going to get creepy.
We've also got a little excerpt you sent us of an exorcism, huh?
You know, sometimes when audio from one of these things is played, it is so disturbing that people actually turn off the radio. And so a little bit later, at the appropriate time, the listeners are going to hear something that is truly hair-raising. And it also is a great example of what I personally have heard when I have been there in the field at places where these exorcisms are taking place. And one thing that I'd like to talk about tonight is this idea of possession as something that goes beyond what you think of when you see a Hollywood film like The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I first got involved in this field, I didn't know really what to think about possession. It really seemed kind of silly. It seemed like a concept that was unrealistic or unbelievable. But, you know, now that I know so much more, and I'm going to do my best to try to explain this very intricate concept of how a person may become possessed, I've gotten to the point where I think, you know, if you are possessed, and I'm talking to everybody listening to this show, you know, if you're possessed, how do you know it? You know, what if you are possessed and you don't even know it? Who's going to tell you this? You know, what format do we have in society when someone could come up to you and say, you know, I think you're possessed? It doesn't happen that often. And so to me, it became intriguing to first off see, is there such a thing as the idea that your personality and your actions can be influenced by something beyond your control? And if so, what does that tell us about who and what we are as humans? You know, where does your personality stem from then? How much free will, how much control do you actually have? So maybe the easiest way to start out here is sort of telling you the model that I think is the best model to describe the way that we are made up mentally.
Okay. This is through the eyes of Joshua P. Warren.
That's right. We'll make that very clear. That's our disclaimer. You know, if I were, and by the way, I wrote about this in my book, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan, and this was the first time I decided to take a shot at this concept because it's so controversial and so disturbing in so many ways. But, you know, if I were to take a big, mighty hand and squeeze every bit of water and empty space from your body, you would literally be the size of a little pea that I could roll between my fingers. And what that shows you is that most of you is nothing. And that's why so much will pass through your empty spaces. You know, radio waves and X-rays and magnetic fields, they just kind of slip right through us. And this kind of loose cluster of matter has adhered to us. But we're very egocentric, obviously, and so therefore it's easy for us to think of ourselves as an ultimate sort of mass. So if you consider that we are a very little delicate part of this environment, it seems to me the best way to describe what we really are at the heart of our awareness is this tiny little wormhole. And this wormhole connects your awareness to all of the cosmos. I call this the wormhole brain. It's this tiny little funnel that is channeling information from the universe through you and back, actually, all the time. And this little tiny, infinitesimally small wormhole has this little clump of matter around it. And that's why that we're able to sort of process information that sometimes we're not supposed to know. You know, it comes from this collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And in other cases, we are a part of it, so we're sending information back. So if you can sort of go on this mental journey, this experiment, this thought experiment, that we are just a tiny little wormhole of information being exchanged, then you have to ask yourself, well, what affects the way the information is being exchanged and passing through us? And I think that in the same way our bodies can become infected, our minds can become infected. And this little joint, this wormhole brain that kind of extends into the cosmic field, it probably can become subject to parasites, to other wormhole brains that might be discarnate. Now, am I getting too weird here, George?
Not yet.
Okay, not yet. Yeah, we will talk that. And so these discarnate wormhole brains, you know, I use the example of the fact that, you know, you would be condensed down to a pea. Well, maybe a discarnate wormhole brain is actually what we are seeing in some of these incredible videos and images that we have of orbs that are sort of floating around and right, zipping in and out of objects and doing things that are beyond something that moisture or insects or dust particles could explain. And so if there is an individual who goes into a place where there is some type of a discarnate wormhole brain, it seems like this thing could actually lodge itself into your wormhole brain, especially if it's weak. And these, I think that connection we have with the universe, with our wormhole brains, becomes weak because that we just don't exercise it enough. And eventually, when this happens, there is energy that starts sort of both seeping out of you and being put into you that is different than what you inherently desire. And one way of looking at that is the reason, obviously, that we have biologically evolved to survive as long as we have is because our natural instinct is to value life, is to love each other, is to take care of each other. But when people start becoming possessed, meaning that they have this influence there, this parasite there that's sucking their energy,
that they can't seem to get rid of.
Well, yeah, usually it's a huge task. I mean, these people, they start thinking about death all the time. They start thinking about either killing people or killing themselves. And when I talk about death, I'm not simply talking about the taking of another life. I'm talking about taking the essence of another life in various stages. A lot of abuse. And I'll give you an example of a typical, you know, exorcism type scenario that I went into that helped me sort of understand what this was all about.
All right.
And mind you, I am not coming at this from a religious perspective. I have sort of an agnostic point of view, meaning that there's something big going on here, but I'm not certain exactly what it is. And that's, I think, probably the most honest way of viewing these big mysteries in life. There was a lady who contacted me probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and she told me that she was undergoing some type of a possession-type influence in South Carolina. And I have to be kind of careful about some of the details I give out because, you know, this is a private residence and private situation. So I went down to this lady's house, and it's not very often that I get those kinds of calls, actually.
And close by.
Yeah, it was relatively close by because, you know, I live here in North Carolina. So I went down to her house, and she told me that the reason she believed she was being possessed was that there was some man who had lived in the house before her who was a very abusive man, abusive to his family. He was a heavy drinker, and he would do just terrible, terrible things to the people who were around him, and he may have even killed a person or two. I mean, well, we're not certain about that. But once she moved into this house, she started having these dark, sort of deathly thoughts, and after she started having the sense that she was somehow akin to his spirit, then she said objects started moving around her house. And the first time I was there, I was sitting on a couch across from her with another researcher. He was sitting next to me on the couch. And she was standing in front of me. And on the wall behind her was a little decorative ceramic dove. And at one point, I was talking to her, and this dove just came flying off of the wall. And it pretty much launched off the wall, hit the ground, exploded into, you know, numerous pieces. And this was so profound for me to see something like this. And this was so confirming for me that this woman was really in the midst of something amazing, that I was determined that we were going to go back there and get some footage of this. So I went back there, and I brought 5 or 6 camera guys. And at one point, we were in a bedroom, and there was nothing going on in the bedroom. And then this woman walked into the bedroom, and all of a sudden, this meter, which weighs about a pound, that was sitting in the corner, for those who are investigators out there, it was a tri-field natural EM meter. This meter, on camera, captured by Lemur investigator Brian Irish, actually was, dare I say, knocked forward and then up on its side. It squealed first. You could hear this big audio tone indicating there was some kind of force coming toward it, and then it went forward and up on its side. And these are significant motions because we're talking about, for one thing, this being, of all objects, a meter that showed us in part what was affecting it. And then secondly, the fact that it went forward and then up on its side, these perpendicular lines of motion. And in fact, the video clip that shows this is one of the most important video clips that I know of that shows some type of a poltergeist-like phenomenon. And if you've never seen this, coasttocoastam.com has a link there to joshuapwarren.com, and I'm going to keep that clip up for a little while under the breaking news section there. I posted it just for the show tonight, so you can see what I'm talking about when this meter goes forward and then up on its side. And what this showed me was that this woman was experiencing something that was physically real, that there was something happening in her mind that was unleashing some type of pent-up psychic ability. And so she said she wanted to have an exorcism. Well, there was a fella at the time I was familiar with, but he said that he knew how to clear these places, but he didn't really have a lot of expertise in doing so. But this woman was desperate. So I brought him into the situation, probably not a good idea in retrospect, and he, in this dark living room, started performing this type of clearing on this woman. And all of a sudden, she started howling, she threw back her head, and she started screaming, and she started speaking in languages I'd never heard before, and she was just writhing and twisting in agony, and I'm just, you know, waiting to see if she's going to shapeshift and transform into some other type of, you know, visage, or what's going to happen to this woman. Well, she never actually transformed into another person, but after about maybe 30 minutes of this, she stopped and she sat up straight and she looked at me with these sort of cold, piercing eyes, and she said, "Get out of my house." Now, mind you, this is a woman who had invited me down there, who had been very friendly. And, yes, yeah,
she said, turned on you.
Yeah, she completely turned, and she also turned to one of her friends who was there and said to him, get the shotgun. And this guy, obeyed her, went off, and got a shotgun, and we actually gathered up our equipment at basically gunpoint and got the heck out of there as quickly as possible. So I'm not telling you this is a success story in how to deal with a possessed person, but this is a realistic experience where I saw the objects. We videoed. You know, it's one thing for me to come on here and tell you that, you know, I have seen objects move in a house, but we videotaped it. You know, I've got the footage right there. And when you actually document something like that and you see a personality change like that, it does show you that there is something that affects the stream of that person's awareness. And, you know, we can just call it crazy or, you know, whatever you want to say. But I actually think that everybody out there knows what is acceptable, what is normal, what is right. And sometimes when these wormhole brains sort of become infected with this parasitic influence, the person really is out of control. And I presume after the break, we'll maybe play that audio for everybody.
Yeah.
But
we've got to cut down to about 25 seconds or so, but it's the meat of that exorcism, Joshua.
You know, it's chilling, really, because what you see when you go into these situations, and I could talk about all kinds of different scenarios that I've been in that are similar to that. What you see is that a person in front of you actually, at the point of the exorcism, sort of gives in to whatever he or she wants to do. And it's frightening, in a way, to be in front of that scenario, because if this person just wants to roll around and scream and throw a temper tantrum, you know, that's what they're going to do. If they want to shoot you, then they're probably going to shoot you. It's a point at which they just lose control, and I really believe that there are times when that, of course, is an extreme example. But maybe we are surrounded by people who have a lesser degree of that influencing them all the time.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Joshua, this wormhole brain that you talk about, it's like consciousness. Is that how you believe people get possessed?
Yeah, I think that there certainly is some channel, some funnel of information that is coming in there through this wormhole brain, and that channel of information can be distorted no differently than any information passing through a wire conductor or light that's going through a pane of glass. I mean, if there's a distortion somewhere in there, that energy is going to be distorted. That's why I think also, you know, the physical brain is there to take that energy from the wormhole brain and adjust it to whatever is necessary for you to live. So that's why your brain doesn't do the same thing that an eagle's brain or a snake's brain does, because we don't need that same channel of information to live in the same way that they do. And yet sometimes that physical brain is warped and it is infected by these other influences.
Okay, we're going to come back with Joshua P. Warren. We'll listen to this exorcism, and we'll also take your phone calls on Coast to Coast. On our next Coast to Coast program, for the very first time, we will be talking about the metaphysical and the spiritual elements of police work through the eyes of a detective sergeant called Spirit of the Badge, 60 true stories of divine guidance, miracles, and intuition. Should be a fascinating program. Up next, your calls, Joshua P. Warren, and a little clip of that exorcism on Coast to Coast AM. Joshua, set up this exorcism for us again, and we'll play this little clip.
Yeah, George, this is from Russia, and this clip was sent to me from a researcher who, I don't have his permission to give his name, but he spends time in Russia, and this is one of those clips, and the entire clip's about a minute and 50 seconds, and I think we're going to play about 30 seconds here, and to me, this is very typical of what you experience when you go to these sessions. So just imagine as you hear this, you're standing in a dimly lit room with a person who is absolutely letting control, throwing her head back and writhing in pain, screaming as she is influenced by all of these dark forces. And I think it is appropriate once again to give out a warning. Some people, when they hear this, are very disturbed because it seems to just connect with this primordial sense that there's something very, very wrong with this whole situation. So there you have it.
Okay, here we go. Josh, that's pretty darn scary. I would have hated to be there.
Yeah, when you're standing right in front of people who are doing that, who are screaming that way, there are times when a voice seems to come from their bodies that you do not think the person can produce. And I don't know if that simply means that the person is a better actor than he or she ever imagined, or if there is actually some other personality, you know, flowing through. But when you're standing there and you see that wild animalistic look in someone's eyes, and you know they are capable of basically killing you at that point, creepy is an understatement.
Okay, let's take some calls while we have some time. West of the Rockies, Janet in Las Vegas. Hi, Janet.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Okay, well, I was wondering if this gentleman has heard of the parasites making people appear to be energy vampires when indeed the parasite itself is sucking energy from the person and from the person it's attached to.
Well, you know, Janet, that's a very good point, because the energy vampire phenomenon is real. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I know people that I consider an energy vampire, and everybody else I know who knows that person also says, yep, that's an energy vampire. On the other hand, there are people who energize you, and I definitely think that these parasites that attach themselves to the wormhole brain are, in some cases, sucking energy from us. In other cases, they are actually sort of adding a negative energy by persuading us to behave in a way we would not normally behave. And you have to really go out on a limb in terms of traditional thinking to understand the fact that the whole origin of the life cycle, I mean, the reason that we actually have energy changing forms and beings changing forms in this universe is because everything, in a way, is trying to eat something else. Everything needs to get energy from something else in some way. We have to physically take a clump of an animal or a plant and put it in our mouths and chew it up and swallow it, but the end result is the same. We're getting the energy from it. And I think that these things, they are taking energy from us in that way. It's a very direct process. And if you want to get rid of the parasite that is possessing you, then you have to learn what it is that frightens that parasite away.
So true. Windsor, we go. Hello, Lynn. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hi, Joseph. I'm going to email you this more in detail, but I'm just going to be surface here. My aunt, she's 83, and she's an Alzheimer patient. And I have discovered, because that she has she has a goes into a another personality, and people who are, you know, religious have said she's possessed, but she goes into a total different, I call it the exorcist stage. And then I have to call, like, you know, the ambulance to take her to the hospital. But I once asked her, I said, what happens, you know, to you? I says, why are you going through this? And she said, there's a shadow that comes to her, and it says to do things. And I says, well, why don't you stop it? And her answer to that was, like, she won't listen to me. And it comes in her mind, and I said, well, where do you go? And she says, I don't know. And I've noticed this, you know, just from observation, that when it comes out, it can be triggered just by anything, you know. And when it comes out, it's really, it's very, very weird and very, like, one, the first time it happened, I was frightened, you know. And but then I, you know, I just looked and observed, and I listened to people like you, you know, and I take notes. Hello?
Yeah, well, Lynn, you know, I think that when you encounter those types of situations, and especially when you're someone you love is going through that, it is evident, it's very clear that there is something that is overtaking the mind. And when it comes to Alzheimer's or similar mental conditions, it does show you that there is something about the brain, the physical brain, that is filtering what's coming from this wormhole brain. And when you know that, you know, this is a person that you love, that you have a relationship with, that you have a background with, and when you know that she should not be behaving this way, but now she is, it shows you that there is something happening there, either in the filtering process or the influence from this parasitic, you know, form that is actually changing part of who the person is. And that's important for us to understand. It's very significant to realize that an individual's identity is a flow of information. It is a stream of data, so to speak, that's coming from the universe, and that can be influenced. And it's very heartbreaking to see a person who is being shifted because they have this kind of infiltration, and yet at the same time you can see a person's personality change instantaneously because this darkness that she described as a shadow is real.
How can an individual, Joshua, tell if they've been possessed?
If you start having feelings that are counterproductive to life and happiness, and I know that, you know, you might by that standard say everybody's possessed, but
lately,
yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? You know, the reason that we have been around so long is because, even though it may not make logical sense to us, the human species has developed because that we are supposed to care about each other, and we're supposed to protect each other, and we're supposed to have this desire to continue living. That is what is natural for us, and that is why over millions of years we have naturally propagated the species. Now, obviously, you know, you could say it was just been a matter of, you know, pleasure for us in some cases, but at the same time, that pleasure was put there for a particular reason. That's the meaning of life from a biological sense. Now, on the other hand, if you start feeling things that are counter to that, if you start feeling that you want to take life, that you want to kill somebody, that you want to kill yourself, that you have lost this desire to care for others, to love for others, or to have a feeling of lovingness toward others, at that point, you might want to consider that there is something influencing what this natural flow is, because that feeling is counterintuitive. That it does not fit into everything that biology and even anthropology, for that matter, tells us is what we are designed to do.
Okay, let's go to Austin, Texas. We go, first-time caller. Hi there.
Hello, George?
Yeah.
Yes, my name's Adam. I'm a first-time caller.
Adam, and you're in Austin. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to say it's an honor and a pleasure to speak with both of you gentlemen. And I just wanted to make a comment, Joshua, about the footage that you have on your website of the meter tipping over.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed this, but right where the window's at, as the camera's panning up, there seems to be like a streak of white light that's right next to it. And as the meter tips over, it shrinks and then goes up. Have you noticed that?
I have not noticed that. And, you know, I'm so glad that you brought that up. To see, for me, that is one of the most important things about posting footage and images like that, because, you know, being there and seeing it, when I watch it over and over, I only focus on my recollection of what it was like to actually witness the event. But and for listeners who may not know what Adam's talking about here, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com, it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com, there is this footage of a meter that is being sort of tossed around. It's moving on its own at the home of this possessed woman. And so this light, Adam, you're saying it expands and then shrinks in the window?
Right. It's on the wall next to the window, but what's weird about it, as the meter tips over, you would think it's a reflection off of that, but it happens after it completely tips over, and it's a long streak of light. And as it tips over, as though someone had done their job, it shrinks and then kind of goes up as if it's leaving.
Well, I can't believe I've missed that. So I'm going to have to go back and look at that again myself. And, you know, when I hear stuff like that, what it makes me think of is that when a person becomes sort of possessed by these influences, then that person's perception of reality changes and warps in ways that are difficult for us to understand. And, you know, I've talked on this program before about how that, to a certain extent, you create your own reality, that you are in this collaborative process with the reality that is around you. And if a person actually believes that he or she can move an object, and that person happens to be prone to telekinetic ability, then that person might be able to expend some kind of energy when this possession is at its height and produce this, you know, effect that is part of a poltergeist phenomenon, moving an object because there's a particular person or persons in the room. And so I'll go back and look, but this might have been a burst of energy that expended from this woman when she came into the room, because that is what usually happens when some type of a paranormal event takes place that moves an object, and obviously that meter maxes out. And that clip, I don't think I have the audio on it, but in the actual clip, the meter squeals, it maxes out, and then you can see it flying around there. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, this takes a great deal of energy, and it only happened when this woman who said she was possessed was in the room.
Josh, when people do get possessed, can they battle it? Can they get rid of it themselves, or do they need help?
I think they can. The first step is understanding what it is about yourself, about your wormhole brain, that allowed this influence to infiltrate. And usually the most basic thing is just a general mental weakness. I'm talking about people who do not exercise their brains as a muscle. And that's what you have to really do. Every day you have to make some type of point to work on puzzles or games or read history books or something like that to keep that brain strong. You must do this. If that wormhole brain becomes weak, then it's easier for these other influences to sort of squirm in there. But once you have something in there, then you have to try to determine what is it that's keeping it there. If part of the weakness in your brain is that you are addicted to a drug, or you're an alcoholic, or that you are subjecting yourself to some, you know, subject matter that you find is a crutch for you to get through your daily life, then you have to address the fact that you have this crutch, and you need to try to, eventually, move away from that. Or if you have some type of a wormhole brain that seems to be sensitive to religion. Let's say you're a person of a faith, and you believe strongly in the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you simply believe that God is going to help you, and you focus on that, I think that that will, over time, help you strengthen the wormhole brain. And that's why there have been cases where, you know, I've gone to an investigation, and I'm looking at this scientifically, and we can't get rid of some spirit, and then a minister comes in and does a religious ceremony, and it works. It must be because that, you know, unless you want to accept the hand of God has actually reached down and plucked this thing out, which I kind of doubt personally, that this has something to do with the person's ability to reinforce the strength of that wormhole brain connection.
Joshua, once again, thank you for another paranormal moment, my friend.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, and it just gets weirder and more fun every week. So thanks, George.
We'll see you next week. Joshua P. Warren, his website, joshuapwarren.com. He's got a number of books out there. Just go to his website. You'll also be able to track him in terms of his investigations and where he goes. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.